Before we start, I wanted to make an announcement to go to our livinginhispresence.org from last week, especially because there's the Economist cover that's on there. We talked about that. If you want to see that, sometimes a picture is worth a thousand words, isn't it? And so also subscribe to our Roberta Morrison 2 channel so we can share and keep things going here. We know what's coming, and we're just going to keep preaching the truth as long as we can, and we're thankful we're still on YouTube. Open your Bibles to Hebrews. We've got a lot to share, and I want to kind of share with you to read between the lies, because to be discerning, that's what you're going to have to do in these days. In Hebrews chapter 12, let's turn these little lights on here. Father, we thank you for your truth, that your word is truth. We thank you for our church family, that we'll walk in love and not be deceived and walk into strife and division and being offended, that we see the division that the enemy's trying to cause to the body of Christ, but also in the world. And Father, we thank you that we serve you and we love you. We thank you, Father, that we have a heart to forgive. And we pray lest we have unforgiveness towards anyone, Father. We stand praying and we forgive with your help. Help us run our race. In Jesus' name, amen. So the important thing is to know that we are running a race. We have a race to run. And in Hebrews it says, therefore, seeing we are also compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and you faint in your minds. And in 2 Timothy 2:3, it talks about enduring hardness as a good soldier. That means we're going to have to endure some difficulties. And we're soldiers in an army of the Lord, right? But in our church world, we've been on a cruise ship with Christian celebrities. And you can almost tell where people are at by who they listen to. And I've gotten to the point where I just like, I am not going to follow men, because that's how I got into the mess of the Word of Faith that I got into, was following all the big TV celebrity preachers who became our friends. And I'm not saying they're bad people, but if they're preaching bad doctrine, you have to step back and mark them and avoid them, because it's important. If they're preaching rat poison, it's going to affect you, right? So because we've been on this cruise ship, we haven't been prepared for hard times. And we've been in these bubbles, and we're called to face reality with Christ. And the world around us is doing everything but face reality. They try to make our reality right now. We see the rumors of wars. We see the division. I just wonder how many more friends we're going to lose because you're picking a side and you decide to fall into a trap and not really walk with the Lord, because the enemy wants to divide and conquer. And we just say, we're not playing that.
That's right.
You know, you just got to say, I'm not playing it. I'm just not. Because otherwise you will, and you'll think you're right, and you'll think you're righteously right, which I've been seeing already. But a true soldier, which we are, we're in a battle, we're in a spiritual battle, as we know. But the methods of the enemy we need to learn. And when a real soldier's in combat, they have to know their enemy. Why? Because their life's at stake. And ours is too. We're in a spiritual battle, and it's sad to me that so many people don't want to see what's going on. And they're being deceived by a lot of their pastors, and there's a lot of agendas. And ultimately, I just want you to focus on the agendas of the new system they're trying to bring in. And they will not bring it in unless there's chaos. They want chaos and division, and that is how, through crisis, they bring in their new system. And this is what they want, and we've been studying these agendas. So we're not going to get emotionally involved into a lot of different traps that are out there because we see the big picture, right? And a good thing that we can learn from is a horse. Now, when a horse is in a race, when they're running, they put on these blinkers. They're called blinders and blinkers and winkers. Three different titles. So when they put on these blinders or blinkers, yeah, I studied it out because I was like, okay, what is I? They're all three. Depending on what country you're in and whatever, they're blinders, blinkers, or winkers. But the blinders, what they do is they block the vision of the horse so that they just stay focused. So when they're running, especially because horses are easily spooked and they turn around and they get distracted. And so they put these blinders on them so that they focus and they can't turn around and they just have to keep their eyes on the goal. And that's what we have to do. We have to decide that we are not going to be distracted. Amen. We're not going to go to the right. We're not going to go to the left. We're going to keep running our race, walking in love, not being deceived by all the false teachers that are out there. And there's so many, you can't even name them. And they want you to pick up this agenda and that agenda. But what the Lord's been teaching us is that we know what the new system is, and they have to have chaos to bring it in. And the globalists want another war. And they want a draft. And they want to draft your kids. And if you have grandkids, and this is why we cannot fall for this division that they want to bring. And even if they bring on different things to America, which I believe is going to happen, they want to have things on this soil to bring a draft. And I can't tell you all the information I know about that, but just know that the enemy has plans. In 2015, I saw this, and talked about the mandatory different things that were coming, and no one believed us. Mm-hmm. You'd believe me, but as I was studying, I was like, well, here it is. It's happened. But also, I thought, well, the draft can't be happening. Now I'm hearing talk about the draft from different places. We don't want that with our children. We just don't want it. So we have to pray and keep our eyes on Jesus, right? Because the enemy wants us to split. He wants us to divide, and he wants a world war, which means nations shall rise against nations. So much has been happening, hasn't it? We think we come out of one crisis and it's like, oh, wow, here's another one. So we have to stay focused and keep our eyes on Jesus, yeah. Right? Because these preachers are trying to divide us. Yeah. They're very divisive. And if you don't believe in this doctrine, then you're this and you're that. And it's just like the spirit of some of these preachers right alone, they're emotionally getting you all worked up and divided. And that's not, the Lord doesn't do that. No. That's just not the spirit. So we got to put these blinders on in our spiritual life and just keep walking. Don't watch some of the news. I'm going to talk about that propaganda. We're going to get into that. So these horses are a good example because when they get these blinders and blinkers and whatever you call them on them, they have to stay focused and they don't get so distracted. And that's the main thing with us. We can't get distracted from running our race because God's asked us to do certain things and the enemy wants to trip us all up. And we have divine friendships. And the enemy wants to divide our friendships. And we just have to say we're not playing. Even if we disagree on things, it's not a matter of I can't fellowship with you anymore. And that's what some people are doing. They're like, if you don't believe this and this and this, I don't want anything to do with you. That's not Christ. That's not the Lord. That's not even the right spirit. Anyway, I wasn't going to go off on that. But in George Orwell in 1984, he warns against a world government by propaganda, surveillance, and censorship. Propaganda, surveillance, and censorship. Now you have to know, surveillance, they want a police state. We're not going to go into that right now, but that's all this chipping and all this different things that they want, facial recognition, all these different things are already here, aren't they? Now propaganda in Latin means to propagate or sow. It spins the truth. It's negative and dishonest. It promotes a narrative while ignoring the big picture. They can't bring about their new system without propaganda. Right. They can't bring their new system in without surveillance, technology, artificial intelligence. We're moving heavily into this world. And they can't bring about their new system without censorship, because there's certain things we can't say now. We never had fact-checking until truth started coming out, and all of a sudden you're getting checked with this and checked with that. You can't say this, you can't say that. Why is that? They have to move their narrative along. And you're causing trouble if you disagree with what the agenda is. I don't like being manipulated. I didn't like being manipulated by preachers in the old move that we were in, and I don't like to be manipulated by politicians either, and the globalists, because they're not. You have to discern who they are, because otherwise you're going to fall for deception. Now, propaganda, it's hard. It's hard to sometimes understand why people can't see what's going on, because they listen to too much propaganda and they don't have critical thinking and they don't think for themselves. So the whole goal of it is to herd and shape the public to a public opinion and to change their behavior that furthers the merchants of the earth, whatever you want to call them, the globalists, there's many names we could go into these societies, which are not, but their agenda is to divide and to conquer, because as they divide people, they're easier to conquer. Because when you're looking and fighting at each other, you don't see who's really behind the curtain, like in The Wizard of Oz. that's another whole story. But they're always trying to get us to distract and fight amongst each other rather than see who's behind that curtain. And this is what they use. Propaganda herds people into sides and creates chaos. And right now, it doesn't matter what party you're in, they all want to censor you because it's just too disturbing, or it's too this, or it's too that. More propaganda. Now, a quote from David Rockefeller, we are on the verge of a global transformation. Remember, what's this global transformation? The kings of the earth come together against the Lord and his anointed. And what do they want to do? They want to bring in the Antichrist. And they want us to attack each other, divide each other, actually kill each other off is what they want. So he said, we're on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the new system. I have to choose my words here. The trick of creating chaos and then seizing power is the name, and it's a game within the game. So they want power, and they keep on. And you know, another thing you have to do is follow the money. Follow the money, and you can and see who's got all the money, and you see who's controlling everything. And that's why Jesus took a whip, and he let us know he was an enemy of those that love money and power. He was not about any of that, right? So for a world government, we need propaganda, we need surveillance, AI, we need censorship, which means suppressing speech, because now there's things you can't say. You're not allowed to say. You'll be deplatformed. So I want to talk a little bit about predictive programming, because that's all part of what we're living through. And let's talk about how entertainment and the media manipulate people. This has been going on for decades. These techniques are used to reduce resistance to upcoming tyranny, to change opinions of large groups of people and let them think it was their own idea, and to subtly program the brains of the masses while they think they're just enjoying some entertainment. Watch what you're watching. Be careful what you put into your mind and what you allow yourself to see. What is predictive programming? Predictive programming is when events are shown in a movie or a TV show that later come to pass. They show you this. I'm going to give you some examples. Why? Why do they do this? Resistance to change can be stopped or minimized because it's been normalized through the media. A person who watched the Minority Report, Tom Cruise, right, 2002, might be less alarmed when technologies such as facial recognition, retina scanning, driverless cars, all these different things start to become commonplace. They started off what they have plans for us, and they show it in movies. Voice scanning, retina scanning, facial recognition, all this stuff has been in the movies for a long time, but now it's happening to us. Did RoboCop prepare people for public or for police militarization into introduce robotic policing? Let's defund the police. Have you heard that word? Why do they want to defund the police? Robotic cops? Robotic dogs? Have you seen any of that? Look up some videos. Even a Futurama fan might have been subtly preconditioned to accept the concept of microchip implants. They're in the movies. You get predictive programming, and then all of a sudden, oh yeah, I've seen that before. You get a little bit conditioned, so that when it starts to be opened up to the public, you're like, oh, yeah, I've seen that before. That's cool. That's cool technology. Predictive programming is a tool to get people used to the changes that are coming. So let me say that again. Predictive programming is a tool to get people used to the changes that are coming. The vast majority of people in the United States are accepting the narratives and the scripts that they're given. They believe the powers that be will be there to save them. Nothing could ever happen to our countries. Nothing could ever happen to America. Nothing will ever happen here. They're conditioned to think that everything is, you know, we'll be saved. They don't question. They don't question anything. They don't ask, how could that really happen? The way they're telling us that this happened, I don't care what it is, if it's a mass shooting, if it's the wars they want to, how did this really happen? Who's really behind this? People just go, oh, this is it, because they're plugged in, their IV is the TV, right? They don't question anything. They accept what they're told. We need discernment in this hour. Yeah. We need discernment to find out who the false teachers are, because many of us are following them and don't know it. We think, oh, they're hearing from God. Well, I've learned not to put my trust in men. I used to do that, and I don't do that anymore. I question everybody because I don't want to be deceived again. They refuse to prepare for bad things because they honestly don't believe it's possible that those things will happen here. This is most people, and I think this is why it's so hard to wake people up, because they don't think anything's wrong. Right. But you have to know that everything's going sky high price-wise. If you don't understand that, then you aren't going anywhere. I mean, you haven't even went outside and ate. You haven't done nothing, right? But people that are aware, they watch less TV. Yep. Because they know this is propaganda. They want me to divide. They want me to go on this. They want me to be afraid, terror. And never have we seen politics divide like they have been now. I mean, it's just another world. And in the Bible, it says that evil men were going to wax worse and worse, right? They're not going to get better. This isn't getting better. But we don't have to be afraid, because we're walking with the Lord. And we already are. When we accept the Lord, we are walking in eternal life, really. If we die, that's the worst they can do to us. We're going on. Just think, forever's a long time. Heaven's a long time. And there is appointed unto man once to die, and once we die, then there's a judgment. And that's why we want to do our best right now. The most important thing we can do is to preach the gospel, to get people to see that there's a good side, which is God's, and then there's the enemy who wants to deceive, and he always comes in the name of God. He always comes as a Christian, right? That's the oldest trick in the book. So what do? Ask questions. And do your own research. Amen. Because most of the things we've learned, we have to unlearn. Yep. Almost everything. And don't feel alone. We all have to do this. So this is, was this predictive programming? I can't even talk. Paul Harvey said, if I were the devil, this is a transcript from 1965. He broadcasted, if I were the devil. It is really amazing to realize over 47 years ago how accurately he prophesied the future spiritual condition of the United States. Many of his statements were considered ridiculously outlandish at that time in history. So here he says, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and 4/4 of its population. But I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. That means I'd undermine them. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as thou please, do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good, and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lucrative literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have memorized media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild until before you knew it, you'd have to drug sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I would evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the House of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. Trust the science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbols of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who want until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. Socialism. And what do you bet I could get whole states to promote gambling as a way to get rich? I would caution against extremes in hard work and patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus, I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. And he'd always close his messages with, good day. Wow. So what do? We don't follow the devil. But it kind of much, pretty much tells you that there's a script that they're following, doesn't it? There's a script, and it seems like they're following it to a T. So what do? Let's finish with this. Let's look back in Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and you faint in your minds. And he talks about persecution. And we know that as the Antichrist wants to set up his kingdom, and it's moving in these directions. It always has, since the beginning. It's moved towards Antichrist systems, Antichrist leaders, the globalists, the merchants of the earth, the kings of the earth. They're not serving the Lord. They're serving Lucifer. the Luciferian. And as the mark of the beast comes in, and I don't know when that'll be, hopefully a long time, but we know that the enemy has prophesied three world wars. Look up Albert Pike in the predictions of the three World War I, what it accomplished, World War II, what it accomplished, and what they want to accomplish in World War III, which is eventually getting rid of Christianity because they feel that Christians are a hindrance to evolving. So what do? We stand strong. We stand strong. We endure to the end. We keep our eyes open, and we're like those racehorses. We stay focused. Don't let people get you offended over here. If people don't want to walk with you anymore, oh well. If they don't want to be your friend anymore, oh well, that's on them and it's their loss. Because as you walk in the truth and God starts showing you things, if they don't want to listen, there's nothing you can really do. Jesus said at some point, he said, you want to leave too, to his disciples? Because they didn't want the truth. In the end times, we have to love the truth. Even if it goes against things we've already been taught, we have to be lovers of the truth and unlearn. It's hard to unlearn, but I'd rather unlearn error and go for the truth, even though I've been deceived, and we've all been deceived at some point in time. We want to finish our race, right? And we want to do what God wants us to do. And we want a good heart. We want to guard our heart. We don't want to be offended and be grouchy and be mean. And, you know, we got to walk with the Lord and just keep casting our cares on him. Say, Lord, you know who should be in my life. You know who shouldn't be in my life. Thank you for divine connections. Yeah. People that you put in my life that we know aren't going to hurt you and wound you and turn their back on you because they love you. And the Spirit of the Lord doesn't do that. So, Father, we thank you for giving all of us courage to stand whatever might be coming. A lot of people don't realize the complications and the consequences of what's going on in the Middle East right now, how it could affect our country. And help them, Father, pray over their children, their grandchildren, and that you protect us, Lord. We just thank you, Father, that we commit everything we have to you. You know the number of our days, and Father, we thank you that we're not afraid. You haven't given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison, her backup channel, Roberta Morrison 2, and on the Living in His Presence Church website, where you can access the messages on the top center of the main webpage. There are free audio downloads of the messages. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching. And see you next time.